with regard to the survival of WDAI. Just let me read you a brief statement. My name is Hurt Williams. I live in the village of Hempstead in Nassau County. I'm running on the People's Radio slate. The question is, how will the local station board, along with the staff of WBAI, be able to work together as equal partners, void of confusion, in order to solve the many problems of WBAI? If elected to the board, I will use my skills as a mediator and problem solver and my more than 35 years of working with many diverse groups for the common good. And the common good in this case is the survival of WBAI. Now, my thing, I have no problems with issues. Let me ask you a question. How many people here have some concerns or some issues about WBAI? Any concern? You have any? I think there are more people who feel like WBAI can do better than they're doing. So the reason I asked that question, because we got 59 candidates. And with 59 candidates, they all have issues and concerns. Nothing wrong with that. The question is that how can you bring all these questions with all these different candidates, and especially with 24 people on the board, how can you bring them together in some order and with some civility? Because let me tell you something. If anybody was keeping up with that lab situation, and some of the people that was on that lab is also running for the board, fine. I have no problem with people democratic asking questions on getting those questions answered in a civil and respectful manner. With my background as a union official and as working in different venues where there was a lot of confusion. In fact, I was my last assignment, I was 5 years worked in what was called a quote-unquote welfare hotel. Now, if you ever worked in one of those environments, in fact, that was one of the reasons I went into retirement after that job, because there was always confusion going on, and I had to mediate and bring people together. I'm also organized many different boards. With new boards, it is very, very key that people be able to come together, because I can tell you, this board, with the many strong personalities and WBAI and the strong personalities of people on that board, it can self-destruct in just a little while if there's not some civility, organization, and structure. That would be my key role as a board member, is make sure there's structure, make sure our focus is the survival of WBAI, and make sure the people come together as board members to work for and keep the Lou Hill vision as a focus. And that's the reason I'm running. I have experience in doing that. I have experience in bringing people together. I have issues with WBAI also. I have some issues with WBAI. But my issue, by the way, like everybody else's issue, should be addressed in a civil, respectful manner. And that's exactly what I would attempt to bring to that board, as well as my slate. Now, we have 8 people on People's Radio slate. Now, if you say 8 people, that means you got, 9 more people that you can vote for. Am I correct? Well, 9 or 10 more people you can vote for. Now, which means that we're not about hogging the board or making sure our viewpoint is the only board, only viewpoint that's expressed on the board. But so we're asking you to vote for our slate, the People's Radio slate, and then vote for other people. There's some good people running for the board, but it must be order, and it must be civility, and there must be respect of people that's on that board, and that's what I hope to bring to that board if elected. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're welcome. Let me give you back your...
I'm going to get some more names of the candidates. Yes. I guess I'll let Joshua start while I'm getting the rest of the new people who are coming in. Just for those...
My name is Herb Williams, and I'm on the, the People's Radio slate here. With this piece of information, you can find out about our candidates. Thanks.
Thank you, Herb. to bring everybody up today who's just getting here. We're having a 3-minute introductory announcement by each of the candidates, and then we're going to follow with a question and answer session. We've heard from Evan Tobias. We've heard from Herb Williams. The next person on my list is Joshua Walensky. Anyone else who's a candidate who's here who's not on my list, if you could please come up and put your name on the list while Josh is speaking, I would appreciate it. I have to set you up to speak next. This is Joshua Walensky. He's our next candidate.
Since 1962, I've had some experience in every phase of WBAI's operations. I've worked with mailings, maintenance, produced shows, and even did broadcasting. Over the years, I've always engaged in innovative outreach methods. I created appealing posters for college campuses on behalf of WBAI. I've solicited contributions from progressive celebrities. I attended CCNY and later taught art in adult education programs for 15 years. Working in the CCNY bookstore for 50 years in Harlem, I forged alliances with numerous radical and progressive vendors, and as well as African American, Caribbean, and Latino groups. I was an organizer of tenant strikes for Med Council, which were successful, and a founding member of Students for Democratic Action at CCNY. I was the treasurer of the Friends of the 59th Street Recreation Center and assisted in the planning of a new outdoor pool, which will be opened in year 2005. We raised many millions of dollars. During the coup, I organized two forums of independent media with Amy Goodman, Sharan Harper, Bernard White, Robert Knight, Steve Rendell. Presently, I am an ally and friend of SLAM, that's the Student Liberation Action Movement, ANSWER, Free Speech Radio News. I've actually taped programs for them, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, and I am a great fan and supporter of Democracy Now! And all independent media. The very first producer I ever met at WBAI was Ayn Rand. She was a reactionary right-wing person. But at that time, I learned an important lesson: to respect and be sensitive to freedom of speech, which is what I am, feelings that I have even today. The first station manager I ever had at BAI was Chris Albertson, an editor of Downbeat magazine who had an interracial relationship with a black engineer. He was gay, and this was 1966. And remember, 1967, up to 1967, it was illegal in 17 states to have interracial relationships. At that time, I built a great sensitivity and respect for not only diversity, but alternative lifestyles. If I am elected to the board, I will uphold the principles of Pacifica staunchly. I am very much for a code of conduct between listeners and staff. I think we need it at BAI. Some of the things that go on show total disrespect to the listeners and to all the members of the staff. The LAB, the local station board, has to also be good at mediation. It has to also show respect to staff, producers, technicians, and listeners. And that way, if we have a board that does that, then we are on our way to really creating peace and justice radio. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Joshua Walensky. Our next speaker will be Jamie Ross.
Hi. My name's James Ross. I'm a Rockland resident. I live in Nyack. Let's see. The reason I'm running is that I'm actually very... I'm very fond of WBAI and Pacifica, and I'm also very concerned about its future. Oh, first I should say I'd like to thank Rockland Friends and the Peace Coalition and Convict Neg Lakai for sponsoring this event. It says great things about your all's commitment to the process that Pacifica is now going through. Let's see. One thing I can tell you, I've actually been very busy with the movement to free Pacifica from the corporate takeover, and also to bring this new governance structure where the network's governance is accountable to you, the listener sponsors. I've been active in this movement for the past three and a half years. It's taken up a great deal of my time, and I've learned quite a bit about our radio station. And the reason I've been active in this movement is I care very strongly for the future of Pacifica Radio. I think alternative media like WBAI is a very precious thing we must protect, and especially in times like these, where the country seems to be moving to the right, and our civil liberties and our chance for free speech are shrinking. We need a strong WBAI more than ever. I would like to underscore one thing that Herb Williams said, that I also think that the role of the board in this new process is very important, and it may be tough at first because the station is quite factionalized, and the people around the station are quite factionalized, but we do have to work together. That has to be our first priority, no matter which of the different factions we come from. Let's see. One thing about WBAI that I'm concerned about now is the current financial crisis. I think this should serve as a wake-up call to all of us that things at the station are not where they should be. I would like to see, deal with this problem, I would like to see BAI move towards more volunteerism and less paid staff. I don't think we can support the number of paid staff people we have now. Also, I think in longer terms, the financial crisis is telling us that there's a problem with our programming. We're not getting as many listeners as we used to. I've spoken to many listeners and ex-listeners since I've been taking on this challenge of running for the board, and many tell me the same thing, that they don't listen as much as they used to, or some of them don't listen at all anymore. And I think that's sad. So one thing I would like to see on the board is to get board members involved in the station's program council, and to take part in the current re-evaluation of the station's mission and the station's programming to make it more relevant and draw more people in. Okay, am I out of time? Okay, well, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
I'm running with a loose slate called Listeners and Staff for Progressive Elections at WBAI. Our nickname is LISPROG. What joins us is that most of us have been active in the movement to free Pacifica from the corporate takeover and to bring these new democratic bylaws forward. Most of us have been active in this work for many years, because we're very concerned that Pacifica and WBAI survive. Okay, thanks.
All right. Before I announce the next person, I'd just like to remind all the candidates we have four more people left to speak, and we got a little bit of a late start. You're supposed to have 3 minutes each, so try to be a little bit careful of your time. Nobody's been really way over time. It's been fine, but I just wanted to remind you. The next person on the list is Kim Clark.
Thank you. Hey, Evan. potato. Herb.
Hi.
Josh. Hi, everybody. My name is Kim Clark, and I'm part of the Justice and Unity Slate. Not gonna take too terribly long here. I just want to say a little bit about myself to introduce myself, and then I'm hoping to hear about your concerns, because I feel like sometimes these forums are set up in a way where I don't know you, so I'm not really sure what, you know, is most useful for you to hear. But I'm a community organizer. I work with families of prisoners in New York State, and we are mobilizing ourselves against injustices that are faced by families who have incarcerated loved ones. I am new to kind of this whole Pacifica situation that we're in. I'm a young person. I'm connected with low-income communities, communities of color, youth communities. I'm active in grassroots movement building all around New York. I'm connected with people even across the country as well as in other countries. What I think is really important here, I know we talk a lot about fundraising, about paid staff, unpaid staff, things like that. What I think is important here is that we have a vehicle here that can be reaching a lot more people. And we have a lot more people who could be involved as listener members in the station. And right now, I think that BAI and Pacifica, we're in a really good moment here of transition. And what we have to be open to is a little bit of change. We need to kind of pass the torch a little bit here. We need to offer something to younger folks and to folks whose faces we don't generally see represented in these forums. And we need to open our doors as well. So what I'm hoping, at least in tonight's forum, is through your questions to learn more about what your concerns are and to be able to hopefully speak more directly to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person on my list is Jacqueline. I'm not sure how to say your last name. Jacqueline Nestry.
Hello, good evening all. I passed around my candidate statement, and you can read that. I've been very actively involved in different communities. I'm born and raised in New Jersey. I've lived a year in New York, but I've spent a lot of my time in New York and very familiar with the politics and just the climate and all the communities involved in both of those states. I'm a member. I'm a listener. I'm also extremely concerned about the situation at WBAI. I attend just about all of the forums, take advantage of all my radio time, been meeting with all of the people that have been so gracious to come and that have been as concerned, and it's good to see when you all come out. I am a second-generation activist, as you'll read in my statement. I grew up witnessing the initiatives that my parents, particularly my mother, was involved in representing people of color or just disenfranchised, oppressed peoples. In order for the station to properly serve the people within the listening station, I believe that it needs to be, those communities need to be represented on the local station board. And I frequently say this, I mean, I'm woman, I'm Hispanic, I am young, and I have a lot of connections. I am active in different communities, different organizations like the WBAI Latino Committee. I'm a bridge builder and a resource for a lot of other community organizations when they're looking to increase awareness. I'm very strong on outreach. I plan on being part of developing a strong outreach program, and that just is logical sense when you increase the input from the listeners, which I am interested in, and that includes programming, having listener involvement as part of the programming council so that we can advise the program director as to what the people want to hear, and making sure that everyone is represented, issues that you all want to hear, particularly movement issues, not necessarily related to, well, we're all affected by, you know, oppression in different ways. We're all affected by the same issues, no matter what color we are, no matter what gender we are, no matter what sexual orientation we are. And we just need to make sure that we're all addressed on the station. The people on my slate, I'm very proud to be running on Justice and Unity campaign. We're people that are not running based on the color of our skin or any of those types of identity issues. We're people that are running on the content of our character and our politics, and we're backed up by long-term, long-standing experience in different organizations. We're rooted there. We're currently active there. And that's only natural that if you elect people that are rooted in those different organizations, if we already have our own network going on and we can bring in all of those people to the station and make sure that they're being served so that they can then become members, so they can then add to the finances and we can have financial stability at WBAI so that we're not nitpicking at all the different issues. We can raise the quality of the programming and solve all the problems that we currently have. There currently is not an effective outreach program, and that to me is extremely key. If you elect people that are rooted in those communities in the listening station, it just only makes sense that we'll be able to make all of those, we'll be able to make a larger network and bring those people into the station. Jacqueline Mestre, hope you'll vote for me as well as all of the people on my slate. And if you have any questions, our phone numbers and our website is all on the platform information, which you can find at the table. And we'll be here for questions afterwards if you should like to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next person is Ray LaForest.
Good evening, everybody. First, thank you for taking the time and be present tonight. Cold night, although you guys are probably more used to it than I am in Manhattan. I apologize for coming late. We got some errors in the direction. 14B was at the exit for us, actually. I'm presently on the local advisory board, and I'm also a member of the national board. I'm proudly running as a member of the Justice and Unity Corp slate. The reason why we created this slate is that we are very concerned about providing Pacifica and WBAI with a voice of the communities that make up BAI. Because BAI is not just a radio station, it is a voice of people, it is a tool for struggle, for organizing, and of course, for sharing culture and understanding each other better. And we felt that throughout the history, and particularly the latest crisis, people were actually able to use symbolic measures and fool people. And that if communities are indeed involved with Pacifica, those things could not happen again. And we're living in a very dangerous time. We all know. That's why we're here partially, I hope, under this neo-fascist Bush regime. And Pacifica, I believe, is the most important national tool in struggling against the priorities of the system and making sure that we not only survive this, that we can move forward towards a just society and a world where all of us have a voice and things can be resolved in a rational, fair way. And justice defines us. There's a role for Pacifica and for WBAI. So in starting, by the way, I don't have a watch, so you will let me know when I'm getting close?
You know,
okay,
worry.
Thank you. Can be generous, though. we believe in inclusion, not only as a term, not only because it's the right thing to do, but people participate in struggles because these struggles will present and reflect what their own reality, because they can hear their voices, not only in issues, but also physically. And they can see the communities representing that struggle. And that is how people struggle. That is how we create strong organizations. So the reason we have the most diverse slate, and we do have the most diverse slate, we have, as they proudly said, until one of the members of our slate had to drop, we had four people younger than 30, And one of them was in her 20s. I don't have my glasses.
He's not under 30.
I left them in the car because I was late. And in the WBAI, young people are not represented. Until very recently, there's only one show in its whole history that young people have now. And they're working with us, by the way, I should say. In a real way. Somebody's shaking your head, no. There's ageism in spite of, you might have a star like Grandpa. We want to make room for people to feel, no matter who you are, where you come from. If you want real solution, we want you to feel at home. We have three Asians. We have a sister who's half Pakistani and half Indian. We have another sister who's a young lady who's Chinese-American. And we have a Korean-American person. We have somebody who's physically challenged on a wheelchair. We are the only individual, indigenous person, Theo Kirsten, Ghost Horse, is on our slate. We have black people, we have white people, we have Latinos, we have 10 women and 9 men. We have made sure that before the discussion starts, that the right elements are present. And I agree, the discussion has to take place over the right issues. And we have to be open, we have to be strong. I don't have time to go too far. I would just say, though, that the crisis facing WBAI, it is not just WBAI. As a national board member, I have access to information, maybe to some extent, that other people might not have. And although this is known, I believe, that every session in BAI, in Pacifica, is having some trouble. Every progressive organization right now is having trouble raising funds. It's almost like Hollywood, where you're as good as your last movie. BAI, in a real way, particularly that we took over after those people spent $5 million, wasted $5 million. We had to catch up with that. We had a serious handicap. And when we took over, we had to quickly make up for things. And so in a way, some of the firms are coming in. There are many reasons. Part of the reason why people show up at demonstration less, people usually pause, I guess, when the struggle is protracted. And we have to reach. So we believe that the solution to Pacifica, it is not to get better accountant. It is not just professional assistance. We have to quadruple. We have to make Pacifica, we have to make WBAI have 10 times the amount of people that are listening right now. So therefore, we have to go to all the different communities that are in the greater New York metropolitan area and bring everybody to it. And then, of course, we have to make sure that the percentage of people, yes, we've seen that larger group is itself increased.
You asked me to let you know.
Yes. So okay. I thank you for having us, and I'm looking forward to a great evening with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. One more candidate to speak, and that's Vicente Panama Alba.
Well, I'll turn this off because it's interesting enough that I'll be back up here tomorrow night in Rockland County. Cottage, what is this place called? Valley College, actually, yeah. There's a garbage company called Barangi that picks up the garbage around here. Well, I am attempting to represent the workers in that company because it's a non-union company. I'm a union organizer. Tomorrow we'll have an election right back here in Rockland County. And many of the workers in that company happen to be undocumented workers, and there's extreme abuse by that company. So it's interesting that the event takes tonight. I'm here running on the Justice and Unity slate for the local station board of WBAI. Again, my name is Panama. They call me Panama. My name is Vicente Alba, but if you call me Vicente, I'm not responding. So just to get that out of the way. I'm an activist in the New York area, particularly in the Latino community, for the last 34 years. Started out as a member of something called the Young Lords Party, which is the counterpart to the Black Panther Party, 1970, and have been active ever since. I am presently a member of the local station board. And by the way, Gail Golden is one of the people that supports our slate, right? Because I have worked with her. We have worked with her, and she's working with us. Why am I running? I am running because I think that I really subscribe to this notion of think globally and act locally. We're at war. We are at war, and we are what it seems like will be a very long war, because when they finish invading one country, they expect to hit Korea next, and maybe Venezuela, or, you know. And we are in a state of war, and the people in our community, including the undocumented workers, by the way, are being recruited to go fight a war for oil. Meanwhile, domestically, if you drive down in the city of New York, you will find these billboards that say support your troops abroad and at home. Because in the inner city, where I come from, the police are conducting themselves as a military occupational force in our community. And so we are in a state of war. We are in a state where a government is investing money in prisons and war and taking money away from education. The only place where we can talk about these things openly is in Pacifica and in WBAI. The only place where the possibility exists that the people from Rockland County will know what's happening in the South Bronx where I live, and the people from Brooklyn, New York, will know about the struggle of the undocumented workers and the garbage men in Rockland County is in WBAI. And it takes a commitment to be inclusive, not talk inclusivity, practice inclusivity. And that is what I hope to help bring to WBAI. We're still a long ways off. We have some very serious financial difficulties in WBAI that we must address. And part of the reason is because over time, WBAI has gotten old. I am 52 years old, but I'm a lot younger in spirit than what I am, by the way. So we make it a point to look towards people like Kim, like Jackie, younger people, the new generation of people who address the issues such as the ones that I just mentioned, to be involved in BAI. But we also have to deliver to that younger generation. We have to have a place in that younger generation, okay, in that radio station. It is amazing to me, for example, that a commercial radio station, how many minutes? I'm done?
You're done, yeah.
I was just told to shut up, but I will be more than happy to talk to anyone and try to answer any question in the open session. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Just to recap, we have here tonight 8 candidates. We've heard from Evan Tobias, Herb Williams, Joshua Walensky, Jamie Ross, Kim Clark, Jacqueline Mestre, Ray LaForest, and Panama Alba. And following the introductory period, we're going to have a question and answer period, which would be now. Oh, let me reintroduce myself. My name's Steve White. I'm the Rockland County delegate for Dennis Kucinich for president, and my information's on the table, too. And Dennis's. I'm sure you've all been fired up from these beautiful speeches that we've had, and if you have any questions for the candidates, for a particular candidate or for the whole group, the only thing, we're going to limit the question to a minute and the answer to 2 minutes in the interest of time, because some of us have been here for quite a while and want to go home sooner or later. The lady in the back.
Okay. I have a question regarding the mention about undocumented
workers,
immigrants.
Yeah.
How will you get them to buy into WBAI? Because I know they don't usually listen to WBAI.
Oh, absolutely right.
Okay. Well, I live in Rockland. I'm living in Spring Valley. I'm from Niagara. So I know that as a rule, they don't buy into. Oh, so how are you planning to introduce
that?
Well,
I think it's actually rather simple. I'm sorry. It's actually rather simple. We need to talk about the rights of undocumented workers in the AI. We need to develop programming. We already are having a struggle within WBAI about the possibility of having regular hour for Spanish language programming that talks about such issues. Because it's very interesting. People think that the lawbreakers are the undocumented worker that goes to a place to work. The lawbreaker is the Marangi who hires them in violation of federal law. Okay, but see, the worker needs to know that. And people that pay companies like Marangi to pick up the garbage need to know that they're indulging in those kinds of practices. We cannot go to ABC to answer that question, to have them divulge that information. We need WBAI. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you very much. You can go. We still have another minute left in that period. So anybody else wants to chip in, make it quick.
I live on Long Island, and I don't know if you know about the undocumented workers, or what they call immigrants. They're having a hard time. They've been attacked. People on the island are concerned. Because what happens, the employers come by on a daily, you know, those daily things and pick up people, and they sort of, at a store, around the store, so there's been some problems. Even a firebombed an immigrant's home out there. And there were a couple of young people beaten up by some people who live out there. So what we've done out there, in fact, one of the candidates, we have to organize an organization out there where now they have a particular place where they can go to. Even Swazi from Glen Cove, the county executive, he created a place in Glen Cove for the people to come pick up workers there. So I'm very much involved in that effort and very much concerned about it. And it is an issue that's got to be resolved and not making those people the victims of people anti-immigrant mentality.
I'd like to add a little bit to that very quickly. I didn't speak about myself too much. I'm also a labor organizer, and I'm one of the founders of the first immigrant organization in this country. I think the way to look at it is two ways. One of them I mentioned already is that people have to see the issues. People have to hear the issues on the station. I'm Haitian American, and it also connects to having contact with that community, because one of the issues in the Haitian community is that they have a higher than usual per capita of radio station available to them. Because illiteracy is very high, particularly in Haiti, so people communicate through radio, and that's how they get their news instead of the newspaper or books. So therefore, you have to make it interesting to them to give up all those radios they can listen to. And it's a similar thing. They have made quite a few Latino stations in Spanish, so we have to make it attractive. We have to make it a place where they can have a voice. And what I tell the Haitian community, because most of our program is in Creole, is that WBAI is the link between your struggle and your reality and your aspirations and all the people who are trying to do something similar.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to take another question. What I'm going to ask is that if more than one candidate wants to answer the question, that you let me know when the person who asks the question, so I can divide up the time equally between the candidates who are asking the question. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Next person? The gentleman right up front.
My name is Harold Carlson, and I live in Ramsey, New Jersey. I have a dilemma. I see 8 wonderful people here tonight, and I'd vote for each one of them. No question, no problem. There are 59 candidates. That means that there are 41 people out there I still don't know, and I'm sure they're as great and wonderful people as you are. After all is said and done, the election's going to come and go, and 18 of you people are going to get elected to the board, whoever they are. And I'm sure they're going to be wonderful people. That means 41 people did not make it. What are you going to do as a board to tap into that talent? Are you going to just let it die out because they lost the election, or are you going to go out there and reach and drag those people along with you? That's my question.
This is for all the candidates.
Everybody.
In general.
Yes.
Okay, so since everybody wants to answer, and it's a very good question, maybe we're going to try to have limit people to, maybe 30, 45 seconds tops for an answer to that each. Let's start with Evan.
Okay. One of the things I've really enjoyed about this entire process is meeting not just candidates for the LSB, but also people all over the area, and I think we really do need to tap into that. I've talked to Herb, and I've talked to Josh, and I've talked to Jamie, and I've talked to a lot of people, and I definitely am into input from everyone, and I think it's important that we keep everyone connected in various ways, through email, through conversations on the phone, through people. Anyone can attend the LSB meetings, they're public meetings, and they're going to be probably videotaped and audio taped as well. So I think it's important that we keep those connections, and yes, I'm definitely open to all the people that don't, if I, assuming that I make it onto the board.
Very good, and we'll go to Ray, not Ray, Herb.
You know, one of the things I said in my opening statement is structure. And with this gentleman's question has to do, partly do with that structure we're talking about. And the structure, as I see it, are committees. Now, the board will have various committees. And one of the things that we're going to encourage, I know I'm going to encourage, is you, people like you who come out to these forums, be part of that committee structure. Okay, that's going to be key, and we're going to encourage you to do that. Because, see, one thing about that particular structure with committees, it has an exponential effect in that if you're part of this a board and WBAI structure, then you can talk to other people, get other people involved, and also that helps with the somewhat with the finances. Because the more people you have involved, more people you have listening, it's going to inevitably result in more funds coming into WBAI. So I'm talking about structure here for all constituents group. I'm talking about constituents group quickly. As you know, see, I share the same birth year as Martin Luther King, 1929. So, and also young people are beautiful. I mean, they're very beautiful. So I have another constituent concern because I'm also physically challenged. I hate the word handicapped personally. I'm just physically challenged. And I'm also going to try to encourage those people to be part of that structure. As well, I think WBAI need in this programming need to address those particular issues as well.
And I think Jamie had his hand up, and also Billy had his hand.
Yes, thanks. Actually, Herb stole some of my thunder there. That's the point I was going to make, is that this board will definitely need to have committees to help it do its work, or actually perhaps do most of its work, and those committees should involve people that are not on the board. There's no reason why the committee has to be limited to the board members themselves. And actually, I think the committee structure is a great way for the board to pull in people and expertise that it does not have, you know, that we're not on the elected body. For example, if there's some sort of knowledge that we don't have, or a certain group that's not represented, I think drawing people from those groups to participate in committees would be an excellent way to deal with that.
And Panama?
I'll say this about inclusion. When we were fighting to retake the station, I was a member of the local board. I actually wound up 3 days in jail because they refused to allow the listeners to come into a local advisory board. I hope that explains the kind of commitment that we feel at Justice and Unity towards open, okay, and inclusion of all of the sectors. I went to people with jail that they didn't like, okay? But I went to jail because it had to be done, okay? I will work with people who are trying to buy the elections with fancy mailings, right, if that's what I have to buy, if I have to work with, for the sake of rebuilding WBI Pacifica, okay, and bringing closure to what is a very, very bitter campaign.
Thank you, and we have Kim.
Yeah, I just want to say most folks have kind of said what I would be saying, which is that it's really important to collaborate with all folks. And yeah, if there are voices that are not represented on the board, and not in terms of tokenism or skin color, like for example, I wouldn't want to say that, you know, if there's not a black face, that therefore that we should make sure that, you know, but rather that people who are actually representing communities, not people who appear like other people in other places, but the people who are representing communities, people who are in touch, voice to voice, person to person, who don't make it onto the board, you know, I would hope that they would still want to be part of the process. I know myself, my plans are, regardless of whether I am personally elected, to reach out and broaden the scope of the listener membership, because a lot of the people who are representing this so-called diversity that we throw around are not part of the process. So, for example, cab drivers who listen to the station, we were just talking about undocumented workers. One thing I would personally do is make sure not only that the people who are not elected continue to be part of the process, but that the people who are not even part of the process can come into the process, like organizations like DESE's Rising Up and Moving, Families for Freedom. All of the different organizations that represent prisoners and families of prisoners and ex-prisoners.
Thank you. More people with stuff that somebody else hasn't said from here? Yes, let's go from the end over here. Yes.
It's also important that we revive the folio, that it really be a platform of communications of all progressive activity, both at the station and throughout, you know, a real political magazine, which it was in the 60s and 70s. Also, to those who love the internet and the computer, well, I'm becoming more and more computer literate every day, but many people are not. For instance, my lawyer, who got me this settlement from the company I was fired from, Norman Siegel, he is computer illiterate. So I can tell you there are many people who we know who are computer illiterate. If people at the station, certain people at the station, think computers and programming are so important, they have to arrange to give courses in computers and computer literacy at the station. If they can't do it at the station, maybe they can do it at 1707 or at nearby libraries, but that has to be done. But if we think computers are that important, then we have to work to make everyone computer literate. Meanwhile, we need a good folio, and we need constant reports to the listener, weekly. And that's it.
I'd like to get to the next question. If people have to say more about this,
just something practical.
Practical, and remember the question that was asked was about how will it include other people who didn't get elected. Yes, thank you.
I would say that there are five or six important factors that define us as a slate and as what we stand for. And inclusion is one of the main ones. It's clearly a major one. So we're trying to bring new people in instead of not letting people go who are part of that equation, at least not willingly. I think that practically the way to handle that is, first, as I said, is programming. That's how you keep people interested. But you don't just outreach to the radio, because if you don't listen to the radio, you don't hear the good programming. So our plan, and it's, again, that's why it comes to community, is to come here and meet with the leaders of this community who are active in all the issues that are important to you, and devise with you the best way to establish regular communication with you. And suddenly, with people who have ran for office, ask them to be part of the many committees that will exist. I think that outreach committee is going to be a very powerful committee, and it's got to be flexible, so that it's not just run from WBAI. If you want to be active for BAI, you can organize an event right here and raise money, talk about BAI, talk about other issues that are contiguous to what BAI is fighting for, and all of us will move forward together.
Here's a question.
Good. Let's get another question. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 hands. Let's take the lady right up front.
I received in the mail the readings of the candidates, and I was truly very impressed with just about every single one of them, their devotion to the community, their activities, etc. And then I began to notice it said List Prog, in parentheses, Slate, or Justice Unity Slate. And I said, I can't imagine this person's agenda being any different from this person's agenda, and yet they're on different slates. And I was wondering what was going on, and I still don't know.
I would like to get responses from one candidate from each slate, please, to represent your slate.
Maybe I will.
Who's representing?
Right here we have Ray.
Ray's Justice Ray. And Unity, and your
People's Radio slate.
People's Radio. Okay, we have two different slates.
And
this box. Three. Okay, we have three people. Who should go first? Let's take Ray first.
James said earlier that there is dissension. Sometimes you cannot avoid but having some dissension. For example, if there was a sign outside that said that women could not come in, I would not accept to discuss this until we correct that problem. And so dissension has to be based on a rational system where there is justice, where there is progressive thinking and activity. So the difference between R3 and what I fought for as a national board member is specifically, is when we were talking about inclusion, Plan B, which is now the bylaws that exist, mention a role for the board in monitoring inclusion of other people. We wanted specific information that would actually have results, and that's where we departed. Also, there was another discussion as to what are you willing to do to actually accomplish that. One example I like to give is that if somebody told me that Dr. King was speaking, and it was 1960 whatever, and I was in the South, and if I wanted to guarantee that if I went to a demonstration that I would not be arrested, well, I guess they would still be voting in using separate toilets down the South and separate facilities. So what we asked Pacifica to do is to seek competent legal advice and push the envelope on inclusion. The government has that. We can do no less.
Thank you. And that was a minute and 20 seconds. We're going to give a minute and 20 seconds to Jamie from another slate.
Hi, yeah, I'm from the slate that's called LISPROG, or Listeners and Staff for Progressive Elections. And you ask an excellent question. And I have to tell you, I got involved in Pacifica WBAI activism around the end of the year 2000 when they had the coup. And I was, you know, I had no idea, but what I found out was an extremely politicized environment where there's people with a lot of animosity for each other, and that has not gone away. And what the roots of that are, I don't totally understand. But as far as the, I have some theories. I could talk about it for probably half an hour. But as far as our slate and what we stand for, what might separate us from the other slates, one of the points of disagreement was how to solve Pacifica's problems. And the people that, from my slate, we've always been in favor of the idea that Pacifica's government should be accountable to its listeners. Our board should be elected by listeners. We've always pushed for that. There's other people, even some of these candidates, that have not pushed for that, and that's one of the points of disagreement. Let's see, do I have any time left?
That was exactly perfect.
Okay, so I'll stop.
Let's go on to the next gentleman from the slate, which I don't know the name of.
The People's Radio Slate.
People's Radio Slate, I'm sorry.
People's Radio Slate, remember that, folks? Our literature is on the table there. I'm trying to, I don't know if we got a little bit off. I'm trying to key in on your question. And in your question, are you responding from the literature that you got in the mail? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
The literature you got?
This no, has everybody's.
That has everybody in it, right. But
when
you're talking about a flyer that opens up?
No, she's talking about this.
Oh, that. The book, the portfolio.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yes, we got some wonderful candidates from all slates. And I would be confused, too, who to vote for if I was out there, because there are some wonderful people. Now, that's why I try to go around to wherever these forums are so people can get to know who we are. And that's about the only thing I can do. I don't have a lot of money to send out a lot of mail, you know what I mean? So we got some wonderful people here, and I think you have a tough choice to make. You have a tough choice. And the people came out here from New York or from Long Island. That's where I think I would begin if I were you right there. I'm on a different slate. See, that's I saw slates, by the way.
Three slates.
Huh?
No, she's asking for a different slate.
I'm from a different slate. Please say different slate.
Can you sum it up as to what the differences are of the three slates for me?
Well, the different, well, evident difference is that our slate, by the way, is talking about a board that operates with civility, with respect, because the reason we came out with this particular platform is because I remember very clearly, even though I didn't attend many of the meetings or any of the meetings, the local advisory board was, to me, as I understand, was chaos. They took 6 months, by the way, to come up with bylaws.
That's the national board.
That's the national board, but I'm saying even with that local advisory board that was held in various communities in New York, that too, I understand, was a big problem. Okay, and what I'm saying again to you that I think that our slate is talking about how to be cohesive, how not to just come in with my issue as a priority, but everybody in a democratic way have a chance to respond to two issues and have those issues aired in a democratic and fair manner. So that's one of the things as a platform, that's what we're pushing, not so much as just a bunch of issues, but how this board is going to be able to function and work together with Lou Hill's vision as the focus. So that's what our slate is pushing.
Yeah.
In respect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to back a little bit over just because we need to clarify
okay.
the question.
Right.
It was a good clarification. It's a very good question. And I'm still shaking your head. It's a tough one. Maybe it'll get answered as the night goes on. You could see the differences between the candidates who are here. They've identified which slate they're with. And you'll be able to hear from them what their own differences are. Boy, we have a lot of hands up.
Wow. Well, we have the time. We're here for
great.
That.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't want to miss this lady in the back's had her hand up for a while now. I'm going to let her go first.
You've all made allusions to the financial problems at WBAI. On a regular, even a nonprofit, you guys all know the board usually are wealthy people and they come and they give money and they get their friends and they have benefits and they do all of that. Obviously, this is different. What are you going to do? I mean, it should be. What are you going to do, though? What kinds of creative ways do you have for bringing money into the station, and how are you going to use your position on the board to facilitate that, to do that, and to change? And please comment on some of the ruts, maybe, that the station's in terms of fundraising and how you think you can turn that around.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hands up. Yeah, we have some people who haven't really had as much chance to speak yet. So why don't we start with Jackie.
Hello. I think what you mentioned, yeah, it is different, but at the same time, that's kind of what I wanted to touch upon, what separates our slate from the others. And it's the fact that, yes, board members who have affiliations, look at the different slates, look who's on the slates, look what kind of communities they represent and how rooted they are in those communities, because that is part of the job. If you're not rooted and active in communities, then, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for you to go out and say, Latinos, Haitians, brothers, sisters, come out and, you know, or become members of this station. So that is part of our job, to go directly to the organizations that we are affiliated to increase membership, which will then increase the financial stability of the station. So that is one. I'll reiterate that I am for a completely strong and very efficient outreach program. You know, all ages, all colors, all backgrounds. And that can, to me, is very simple. It's not difficult. It's what my experience is in. And again, what separates the slates? Look at the endorsements, look at the affiliation, and look at the, you know, who each person represents. And on our platform, you will see all of that information. You will see the other slates, look at the same things on their slates. And if you feel that those are the kinds of people, if they're actually rooted and they're active at the moment, but you will see that ours is the most active, the most diverse, and the most rooted in all these various communities.
Thank you, Justice and Unity.
Thank
you very much, Jacqueline. And we enjoyed that your very concise statement was beautiful. And again, Evan, let's get some. He's been concise all night. Go ahead.
I think the good word that I was targeting on what Darcy said was creative fundraising. And I think that the premium that I wanted to call up for $150 that I can't afford or come even close to it is one option, but there are many options. I think having youth on a station brings a different approach to. You go into the city and you find out where is the party that I want to go to, and there are people flying all over the place, and you know where to go. They have internet contacts, they have email lists, they have different ways of going, and we need grassroots people, not just pitching on the radio for a $150 fundraiser. I'm not saying get rid of that. We need people on the ground, palm cards everywhere. We need people walking, saying, come to the station, going to every rally that exists and giving out information on BAI, and you might not get one person with $150, but you might get 20 people with $5, and that's still $100. And it's working for Dean right now. It's worked for Kucinich. It's about grassroots, on-the-floor action organizing and getting people interested in the station. I'm not saying get rid of the premiums, but we need to be creative about it. Well, the first thing we're going to do if we get elected is start a fundraising committee and get creative people to do creative fundraising, and that's what I have to say.
Thank you for everybody's being aware of time. Thank you. And Kim? You go right down the line.
Hi, Kim again. I echo everything that Jackie and Evan have said, and I just want to add to that two things. One, which is that, yes, when we hit places on the ground, that is very effective. But what people in communities that I represent also want to know is, you know, what am I giving my $5 to? What am I giving my $20 to, right? So I know people who will buy a T-shirt for $20 because it's supporting an organization called Sister to Sister, which has a freedom school for young girls in Bushwick, you know, to learn how to empower themselves. However, those same people wouldn't give $2 for a lot of other things that they don't believe in and that they don't want to support. So what we also have to think about when we're peddling out there for support is what kind of real input are we allowing all of these people to have? Like, how much voice does my $5 or my $20 give me in this process? So that's one thing. And then two is that we need to employ the independent artists and, you know, culture creators that we have in our communities, because art and culture is where it's at. It's like, imagine a day without music. Like, anyone in this room, imagine a day, whether it's, you know, Beethoven or Dead Prez that you're listening to. Imagine a day with no music. Imagine a day even, you know, for some of us, I'm not included in this, with no television, right? So it's like, we need to reach people where they are, and through mechanisms that work for people, that resonate with people, that mean something in the everyday. So when we can translate some of these messages into song, into chant, into poetry, into visual art, you know, when we get independent artists, like, say, everyone does a visual piece and it's auctioned off for WBAI. I personally know at least 20 people who would do that, but only if that first part is met. Only if there's going to be a true platform for all of us to actually be involved in the station. And with that, I can bring many.
Thank you. I feel like I'm in a time Nazi. It's beautiful to say, but I have to ask everybody to speak up a little bit. Jamie's next online.
Okay, I'll be very brief. That's an excellent question, and actually the people have made excellent comments. One thing I will echo is that my current understanding of our financial crisis is a reflection of the fact that WBAI's older listeners are either turning the station off or moving away or something, and we haven't replaced them with younger listeners because there's not enough programming that draws the younger listeners in. So I think that's something that has to be dealt with. Another approach to doing fundraising would be to go back. We have the list of the people that used to subscribe but now don't. We can go back to those people and do a little bit of outreach and see, maybe just with a little prodding, if they will become subscribers. Again, that would be a fairly not too painful way to get some more money. And the last thing I would like to say is I really believe Pacifica should stay listener-funded. That's what is the root of its editorial independence. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. And
I think that is perhaps where questions get answered. The key is listener-sponsored. And if we have a station that was initiated in the 1940s, okay, we will all pass on, see. And we need to make the programming relevant and inclusive. If it's listener-sponsored, we have to have a wide listenership to have the fundamental financial foundation to maintain the station. Young people need to be the contributors. But in order for them to be contributors, this station must be servicing young people. Immigrants, okay? The people that we talked about before, immigrants need to have the station be a place where they could get information, what it means something to them. When we create programming and do outreach, okay, to this diverse group of people, you create a strong financial base. That's a fundamental, I think, difference about Slates as well.
Thank you very much.
Just basically that I know that a lot of the focus has been on young people, but I don't want to make it sound like that's where it's only at, because I respect my elders greatly and the knowledge that they bring. And I know we need program for seniors and everyone underneath. Believe me, you are in our hearts and minds as well. So.
Very good. 10 seconds. Yeah. Now we're going this way. The same question again, please. This is 8 people on one question. So each person, be quick.
Okay, I don't even like the term old. My father used to say when he was alive that you are as old as your arteries, and my arteries are feeling fine, I think. So they are younger, and I'm older. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm part of that fight till they take me away. That doesn't count, I hope. That's part of, just kidding.
Next person.
Seriously, though, this is a key. This is one of the most important issues, both politically and in practice. As I said earlier, this is not just WBAI. This is a real issue for the whole progressive movement. How do people respond when confronted with a crisis such as the one we have within the nation? First, you have a demonstration, we have 100,000 people, or maybe you have 10,000 first, then you got 100,000 people. At that point, every station in Pacifica is making a huge amount of money, including progressive newspapers, not just us. And then things get tough, things don't happen immediately, and then the demonstrations start having 20,000 people or less. And BAI and Pacifica has less money. So we have to resolve that as a community, as a progressive community. Another problem which is really serious is about only 10% of people who listen to BAI actually subscribe to it. As I said earlier, I'm a labor organizer. I was having a meeting at my union dealing with Cuba while my slate was meeting in a different room in the back. And some of them had joined late, and we wanted to make sure they had enough names and so on. At the end of the meeting, I'm talking to the whole group of progressive people, active, you hear their name on the station, sometimes, some of them, and I say, you know, you guys are progressive, I'd like some of you to come and sign some petitions. Almost none of them were members of WBAI. None of them have contributed in any fashion at all. So we have to make that a way, not just begging, but really, again, it's interconnected, it's part of the outreach. When you're talking to people, when you believe in something, you got to fight for it. If you saw any shoes, you could use the money for something else. But this is important to you. You spend the money without thinking about it. So this tool has to be part of it. Of course, we have to get technical. We have to have the best technical people. As a national board member, I voted recently on the board to force for the first time. And I had some problem with doing so, by the way, because I'm against the top-down approach. We force every station now to have 1 month's reserve. So that in the budget, 1 month's reserve, so that, I mean, BAI clearly is in trouble. So, but that is the goal.
Thank you very much. And we have 2 more people, I think, who want to give their opinion, and we'll go right down the line with the next will be Herb.
Yes, I agree. There's got to be some creative ways to create funds other than those premiums that people often have a hard time getting. And some still don't have their premiums once they made their contribution. I'm on Long Island, one of the things that we are doing to help WBAI, and we've already spoken to people at WBAI about that in management, we have created what is called a gift foundation. And one of the part of that is have WBAI come to Hempstead, Long Island, to do radio or programs right there in the community. We already got the place, the African American Museum, to do that. and therefore draw more local people to the station or to that program, and they can duplicate that in various communities, including this community. So you're talking about creative ways to bring in more funds. That's important.
Is it grant, there was a grant proposal to the Robeson Foundation to do that. They didn't get it, but I mean, I helped write it, but you know, but that's it, there's stuff in writing about that.
Yeah, well, exactly. We will have you to come write some proposals for us.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, I just want to do that. Other people, go ahead.
Last but not least, here we have Joshua.
Yeah, when the landlords used to sell co-ops, in fact, they used to say location, location, location. Well, at BAI, we have to say fundraising, fundraising, fundraising. But we also have to say outreach, outreach, outreach. Now, there's something strange about outreach. We have a lot of work to do. Like the Upper West Side that Ray and I live on, in, and Harry Belafonte lives in, and Susan Sarandon lives in, doesn't have a Friends of WBAI like you have here. I mean, we could have it at God at Riverside. So we have a lot of outreach to do right under our nose. Plus, we don't have active outreach chapters on the college campuses. And there are so many in the New York metropolitan area. Now, I was working with undergrads for 50 years, so they're very busy people. They don't have much time. But at least on every campus, there should be a facility where they can come in at any time of the day and listen to WBAI and pick up our latest literature and SLAM and Peace Action. And so many groups would be happy to do that for us. So that's one of many suggestions.
Okay, we've had a lot of very good questions and a lot of very good answers, and I'm going to take people now, so you don't have to hold your hand up the whole time. Okay, I'm going to take people so that we can then, so anybody got their hand up, give me your name, and then I'm going to take everybody else's name and I can call you off from the list. Okay, we'll start.
Mike Connor.
Okay. And Cedric?
Over here.
And?
Margaret Dominique.
Margaret. And Sam. Anybody else? Gentleman in the back?
Sanchez.
Okay, we have everybody now from our panelists now. We have five people more with questions. We can't have half an hour for each answer because we're going to be here until tomorrow. Oh, one more?
John T.
Okay. Six. So, and if your question could please be directed towards one particular candidate, that would also be very helpful.
Can I make just a point of order?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Unlike the other forums, we can't drift over time. Just so you know, we can't drift over time with this one because, like, the library closes at 9, so we do have to be out here by now. Just as a point of order.
So we've got six people. We've got six names, six questions, a little over half an hour. Let's first place, let me thank the questions that have come up. So beautiful, really intelligent questions. How will you work together? How do you differentiate yourselves? How will you raise funds? These are excellent questions and excellent answers. Mike, you're the next question.
In light of the financial problems with BAI, I often wonder, why are they on Wall Street in commercial lease space?
Amen.
When they're not in a community center, in a working class neighborhood that also can combine all these outreach things? What?
Is there any particular person who you would rather have answer that question?
Whoever, you know.
Is there anybody from here who really knows the answer to the question?
Yes.
Evan knows the answer to that question, so let's let Evan answer that. I don't think that doesn't sound like a partisan question, like anybody would have. If anybody has a very different answer from Evan's, then let me know.
I won't claim to have the answer, but an answer that our slate has been discussing with each other and other independent media organizations is the idea of having a joint community space. So let's hook up with indie media. Let's hook up with progressive paper media outlets. What else?
Publications.
Tiger, I can't pronounce his name. Paper Tiger. And hook up with all these organizations and
put all our resources together and have a true community space, because we need a physical space as well as an audio space, and that would help get the costs off Wall Street and be like in the community where the community is.
And make it multimedia.
Multimedia.
We have lots of answers here. That was a great brief answer, though. Jamie seems to know why they're on Wall Street. Go ahead.
I'll be extremely brief. I actually don't know exactly why they're on Wall Street, but that decision about from moving from the West Side, from 8th Avenue, wherever they were, to Wall Street, it's kind of a... It was one that was not made with a lot of input, and it was sort of an example of how Pacifica was badly run in the 1990s.
And Ray seems to be thinking...
Actually, this is not quite correct, though, because I was not on the local board yet. But the reason they moved there is simply that this building, which is at the end of Wall Street, the last building before the water, almost literally, is completely filled with non-profit community organization. And at that point, the cost of and again, we are always under the gun. They are not prepared, obviously, and that's part I agree with, they didn't have enough resources to have enough time to, they had to move. The price was going to double where they were. And when they moved at Wall Street, it was cheaper than where they had moved for more space. So it's just that since 9/11, things have changed down there. I can tell you, I work on 14 on Canal Street, which is right at the edge, and everybody's building 2-3 spaces on top of the existing building. And rent is rising incredibly, and this is part of the reason. WBI's rent just got raised completely. The question is that we have the situation, and we have to move. And then I agree that we do have to find a space with all the organizations. We have been offered the place called the Firehouse, where Mimi Amy Goodman is. Yeah. As a board member, I went there to inspect it. The place is not structurally sound, although it would have been a beautiful place. It used to be a fireplace where there's actually a canal running underneath it. And the foundation, you can see where it's reinforced. So I think as a long term, we do have to find community places, but we cannot do it right away. We're in the red in a serious way. But as a future plan, that is part of the survival.
We have an excellent question again and excellent answers. And we're going to move right straight to Cedric now with the next question.
Money. I understand you desperately need money. I think I heard that $5 million disappeared sometime back.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear right?
3 years ago.
All right, $5 million did disappear. How carefully is the outgoing money being checked today? That's my question.
Okay, we have volunteers on that one. We have one volunteer. Hallelujah. Go for it, Ray.
Well, these people were specifically people who had been brought onto the board, who were completely, they were not even listeners of WBAI or Pacifica. I should say Pacifica. It was a coup where these people were actually...
No, but wait, that's not my question.
But that's when the money got spent.
How I see.
Okay.
Is the money being...
I see.
Monitored.
But I was going to say, the first part of the answer is that these are different people. These are people who fought for 2 years to kick those SOBs out of, I hope I'm not shocking anybody, out of position. So that was the first step. We did it with a different group of people. Second, and it's proof of that there's a difference, most of the money has been reimbursed, has been replaced already. Most of it. And the third problem we had is that we had huge amount of legal expenses, because almost every single one of them to leave sued us for $150,000, $250,000, $350,000. And then there's a rule of thumb is that if you have to get a law firm to defend you, even if you win, you spend $100,000 defending yourself against each one of those individuals.
Yeah, but you have a good accountant making damn sure that the money is not being wasted.
BAI
until now, surprisingly enough, did not have a development person. But now Pacifica has hired different people to look at the issue. It's really a national issue.
The accountant, she's very good.
You have something pretty much the same thing to say as him, or you have something?
In addition, I think that at the moment, every penny being spent in WBAI is very carefully being monitored. Excuse me, I'm very hoarse. It's being monitored very carefully because it's gotten to such a point where pink slips are being given to people, being told by the end of the month, we're laying off 50% of the staff. So because of that, I went to the last meeting where there was a full accounting by an accountant, okay, of where the money was being spent, how much was coming in each drive, Now, that's the answer short term, okay, to the present reality. Mm-hmm. The reality is that a lot of unsound decisions have been made in the past, and that those unsound decisions from the past are catching up to us at the moment.
I think Jamie has one more.
Yeah, I had a brief, maybe Ray said this when I was out of the room, but your question about is somebody monitoring the finances, besides the station accountant, Pacifica has hired a chief financial officer, Lonnie Hicks, I believe is his name, and from my experience, he seems pretty good and dedicated, and I'm pleased that he's there.
Anybody else with answers to financial accountability? No, we're moving right on to Margaret.
2 seconds.
Financial accountability.
Just that we believe in complete transparency on the Justice and Unity slate, that all records should be available to people so that they can know that their money is being wisely spent.
Thank you. And we have a question for Margaret.
Okay. All right, before my question, I just want to add something to the watching of the finances. The new board is going to have... one of the powers the new board will have is to evaluate the budget. So it's going to oversee what goes on exactly with the budget. So they should let people know more or less. Okay. My question is, I know a lot of you, it's to all the three slates that are here. I know a lot of you spoke about including to bring more people from different communities at the table. Sometimes when people talk about bringing people at the table, they're only talking about enlisting new listener members. I want to know from each slate, do they want the people to be more than just listener members? Are they going to be included at every level of the table? Do you support affirmative action in bringing people from diverse communities in? Do you support affirmative action? And what will you do in working for the board to protect affirmative action? And you know, it is the law of the land. What would you do to protect it? Do you support it? And how would you try to protect it
down the
road? And I hear
that you're asking this of each slate. And yes. So I'd like to ask the slates to give one answer each, and we're going to start with Jamie from his slate, and then we'll go to the Justice and Unity slate. Jamie, yours is List Prague.
Yeah, List Prague,
and then Justice and Unity, and then People's, and we have an Independent. Do you want to hear from the Independent also?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have four answers.
So your question is, do we support affirmative action, and what would we do?
How would you protect and to ensure affirmative action?
Yes, we definitely do support affirmative action. I think all the candidates support affirmative action. The primary responsibility, in my view, for diversity at BAI, the most important person is the general manager and the program directors of the station. One of the most important things we have to do is to make sure there's diverse voices on our air. If there are diverse voices on our air, we will draw in diverse people into the BAI. You know, the BAI world. If there are not, then...
I'm not referring to the to be listeners. I said specifically inside the station and on different levels.
Yeah.
Different levels, not just listeners.
Well, I mean, programmers, just programming and staff, does that count? Is that...
You mean governance, right?
Yes.
Governance, well then, governance, what you need with diverse listenership, we will be able to draw from diverse communities to be involved in our governance. Another approach to affirmative action which need to be taken in the governance level is if we find out that there's communities that are missing on our station board or other governing bodies, special effort has to be made to outreach to these communities. I believe we should... We strongly support the affirmative action provisions in the new bylaws that call for a special committee, the Committee of Inclusion, which calls for whose job it is to monitor the diversity of all the different bodies around the station, including the board. And if it does not meet the goals that are set, then they can direct special actions to be taken. One thing, and this gets back to your question, one thing we do not support is bylaws amendments that call for diversity requirements in board elections. I know this is something that the Justice and Unity slate strongly supports. We do not support this because we concur with most of the lawyers that have looked into this question, including Lonnie Guinier, that these requirements are probably not going to be legal and may well expose Pacifica to financial risk. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. And we have somebody to represent
I can say I think it's a very important question. And I disagree with some of the stuff that James just used two words there. One of them, directed, that seemed to imply authority. There is directed in this case is just suggesting. There's no teeth to it. When we fought, and it's connected to a question somebody said earlier that it took 6 months to get. When this committee was created, we had a republic that had a tremendous document. However, most people were excluded from voting. If you were not a white male property owner, you could not vote. And if I was part of that process, you damn right, I would have fought tooth and nail to make sure that this process got to include women. More than 50% of the population did not vote until like 70 years ago. So what kind of document is that that cannot be enforced? The other point I want to talk about is a term that also was used, is that we want something that is legal, that is supported by the law. And what we have suggested, it is not a quota system. What we have suggested, and which was defeated, I'm sorry to say, is the ability, if the system in place is working very well, we have no problem. We would go look at the demographics of each area. And then if these communities are grossly underrepresented, we would compensate among the communities that are lacking the most up to 5 and no more. And if when you get to 5 people added, if those communities were still sorely lacking, I guess we'll have to wait next time around and do tremendous outreach. So it was not a crazy system of going to go against the law and, you know, destroy the resources of Pacifica in lawsuit. It was a very well thought up solution. But that also gives that committee power to say that this is, it's not that I just don't like this, but we have voted to say that we have to add 5 individuals. And also, it was not just, it was at all level. It was in the this body that you will be voting for. It was also in the staff. For example, there's not one native person on any board of Pacifica. And I think that's outrageous. So in our system, there will be a look at the result of the election. And if there were one person who was indigenous who was running, that individual will be hopefully one of the 5 that will be picked and added to our board and enrich it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Herb from the People's Choice.
People's Radio.
Maybe People's Choice. Let's go right.
But I don't know if we can really truly answer that question, because when I look at your how you feel, you're still having some concerns and problems in terms of if those responses going to really answer your question. I don't know if mine is going to even answer your question, because let me tell you, when this whole process was put together, okay, there was A and B in terms of bylaws. A had a very tight, specific affirmative action article, a part of that bylaws. That was turned down, as Jamie said, because the legal people like Lenny Guinier.
By the way, can I say something? This is not true, by the way. Because Lenny Guinney, I was the contact for the board. Lenny Guinney sent that document to me, and she did not say that it was illegal.
No.
I'm sorry to do that.
Wait a minute.
That's a question of fact.
Well, I'm saying that what I understand, that would bore me more legal problems if they adopted A. I think that was what part of it. In other words, that was the problem with A, which would be a... Huh?
I said sorry.
Okay. Which would be, you know, had a more tight and specific affirmative action article in it. But I see it, as somebody mentioned earlier, is bringing pressure on the person we can bring pressure on, and that is the executive, the general manager, to ensure that we do have affirmative action at the station, as well as some people saying what they have among their groups. I don't know. I'm just saying that we have to bring pressure on the general manager and see what the legal ramifications are you know, with the, that we have. And by the way, the parameters and that we have as a board, people got to remember, is not a all, you know, do all and answer all questions. It's going to be difficult, you know, when you talk about issues of affirmative action. But I think we have to bring pressure to bear on the general manager to make sure that we have affirmative action. That has not, by the way, this new entity will have that kind of influence to do that. And it's the general manager who has the responsibility to ensure that we do have affirmative action.
So let's let Joshua get his point in, and then if anybody has anything quickly to say.
Herb is correct on the level that we were trying to answer the question. You can't answer the question. But if you look at it from the spiritual side, that we are all unique, dynamic beings, and we get whatever characteristics we have from above or wherever, and so on, and we're honored to be black, white, Christian, Jewish, or whatever we are, but we're all unique human beings. I've learned to look at people that way, and I feel that way about people, you know, and I look at their soul and their spirit and their vitality, and this is what I judge people by. And if we go that way, and we can use more spiritualism on WBAI. I remember Mr. Das on BAI, or what about Waits or Watts, whatever way you pronounce his name. We can use more of that too. But that's the way, that's my feeling about the situation.
Thank you. Sam has a question.
Yes, I'm addressed to all of you. I was very much impressed finally getting the ballot. I mean, I went down to the station because I didn't have the ballot and I wanted to see it. And I was really impressed by the quality of all the people that's standing up and making this kind of effort. I'm wondering if any of you has read the whole book and read all the other candidates.
Oh, that can be a real quick, easy answer for everybody. Yes. Start with Paramount, but write straight down the line again. Have you read the book? And have you, have you read the book? And how were you impressed? What do you think of the other candidates?
Okay. The answer to both questions is no. I have not received the book, and I have not received my ballot.
Oh. Okay.
He's running.
And I'm running.
He's
running. I read the book. I didn't read every statement. I skimmed through some of them. But you're correct. It's a very impressive group.
No ballot, no book, but I have checked out people on the internet, and there are definitely a lot of very impressive folks out there, and I would just want to say that I look forward to, you know, working with people from all slates and also folks who are running independently.
I also did not get my ballot yet, but all the bios are online, and I read every single bio, and I've also spoken to so many different candidates from all different slates, and I'm pretty psyched about this entire process.
I did skim through it, but I didn't get to see read every single one, but again, just utilizing the internet as well, and we've been meeting each other also at the forums, and we've been engaging in conversation. And also, I mean, Noah's impressive people, and I definitely look forward to working with them all if so elected. And just happy to be part of the process.
You got your ballot?
Because I really care about WBAI.
Did you get your ballot?
No, but someone that I knew.
We got, yeah, there's a lot of people. Did you get your ballot this side? Did you get your ballot right?
I got my ballot, yes. And the process to fix it is very bad also, by the way. No, I have not read. I've skimmed to most of it, though, because I was really interested. I even look at the internet to look at candidates in all from other towns. But I guess we're all very busy, and I didn't look at every single one, literally. But I agree with you that it's a very impressive group of people.
Yes, I agree with Ray LaForest that we are very busy. I have my book, by the way. I got my ballot, and I got the book. And it's right on my night table. Every night I fall asleep.
Going through that list.
But I say you, again, I can only replicate what people have said. They're all impressive candidates. They're all, and I've been skimming through all of it, at this present time, I'm going through it now, and they're all impressive candidates, I can agree. That's why I say, you know, our slate is only 8 people. You can vote for it. All the rest of the people make up for the 18.
We already got everybody who's going to be asking questions. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, I have 2 more people left to ask. And did you get your quick statement?
My quick statement is, let's also not forget male, female, gay, transgendered. I received my ballot, but you know about the bylaws, they're so spreadable, they're incredible. And I still have a lot of homework to do on it, and BAI and Pacifica is an ever-evolving concept, and this is the very first election we have, and there's a lot of work to do up ahead.
I don't think we're going to have too much time for that. The next question was from Sanchez.
First, a comment, you know, I think that the financial things are not going to get better overnight. I think that the drive is doing very badly right now. The goal is 1.1 million, and it's going to be like 5 weeks to reach that, you know, alienating more the listeners. That is all in the responsibility of White, Bernard White, you know, which is really taking the station down. Now, I think, you know, I got my ballot, by the way, and I got the booklet. I was very shocked, you know. I was a member of the bylaws revision subcommittee, and I was very shocked to read in the statement of Mr. Ray LaForest that he said that the new bylaws, which I helped forge, you know, I know Mr. LaForest for about 2 years, and I only have seen him fighting against democratization in the station and against the elections. For two years he has done that. Now, it's very shocking to see that the bylaws that he forged, you know, the actual bylaws that we accepted, that was accepted nationally for the 5 stations, were fought by Mr. LaForest for 2 years. Now, as member of the bylaw subcommittee, I am telling the people here that Mr. LaForest also failed to send to the national board all the straw polls that were taken there. That means that our committee was fighting. You know, the thing is directed to Mr. LaForest.
Yes, I understand. But the questions are, we give you a minute to ask it. Your minute has gone by, so if you wrap it up as quickly as possible, we'll let him respond.
I think he asked the question.
Yeah, the question is to Mr. LaForest is why he didn't send the straw polls that were taken after a lot of work for a whole committee who was working in the bylaws, why he failed to send it to the national board, fooling up completely the work that these people were doing.
And do we have a question directly to one person, Mr. LaForest? You have 2 minutes to respond.
Well, I must say that this individual actually fought me. I was chosen to be on the local board because of my support for WBAI and my activities in New York City. His view of what should have happened is the view of other people. Let me say very clearly that the bylaws that we have is not something out of New York or that one particular group presented. It is a consensus that came from presentation from every single area, plus the affiliates. And when I said that I contributed to it as a national board member, we debated that raw material that was sent to us and voted on it so that we could make it what it is. And I participated very strongly in that. In New York City, there were many different groups. There were many different positions. And actually, technically, what he just said is inaccurate. These straw polls were sent, and not only were included in
they were, even though they were not official, they were included in a second document that is still available on WPI.org, Pacifica.org, even though it's not part of the bylaws. So technically, this is wrong. I would say that simply that Mr. Sanchez's position, I guess, were not reflected. As I said earlier, this code was created with a constitution that looked good on paper, that didn't have any teeth for implementation. And I'm assuming that if it was fighting for implementation, there might have been individuals who would have thought that they didn't like the way I was doing it. And the proof is in the pudding. The ballots got passed. I voted for them. Those that exist now.
Thank you for that answer. We're going to give 30 seconds for a response.
I hate to interrupt here, but Ray said that you voted for the bylaws. Actually, you didn't vote for the bylaws.
I voted for it, yes.
You voted against them twice.
I think on this question, people are disagreeing on this, and I would recommend anybody with further questions maybe to pick up the information as you leave and look into it more on your own. We're not going to resolve that right here, right now. We have John T.
Yes, I'm John T.
Okay.
I want you to, my name is Virginia Jaunty, and I'm from Nye, but I live here in Spring Valley now, and I'm an avid listener of WBAI. I listen day and night, and as long as there are programs that are geared to empowerment, I want you to know, as long as there are programs that are geared to empowerment, I listen to them. I don't have an interest in programs that are geared towards gender things, because people can take care of those type of things, I feel like, on their own. They don't have to get on the radio station to take care of all of those things. If it's regarding handicaps, another word they use, and all those, disabilities and those type of things, I can understand it. But things that are really serious issues and things that one cannot do anything about or need help, I am all for those type of things. I support a programmatic stance that is all about empowering people. And I'm sorry and apologize indirectly that there are not more people here, but you had competition tonight. Tonight there was an immigration program as well at the same time down at the Lewis Kurtz Center that's here in town. And you might have had a larger audience if you had been at the Lewis Kirk Center than the library. I just wanted you to know that. That's it. That's it. I'm
No, no. Is it there now? Is it to what time is that?
So we're pretty much done for tonight. But I have one more person wants to make a statement. Go ahead.
I just wanted to respond to that, and because I'm not quite sure what you were saying about gender things and being on the radio, but I just wanted to say a couple things. One is that as a woman of color, right, in my everyday, I experience a number of different things based on the fact that anatomically I'm female, right, that as a black woman, I'm engendered in a different way than a white woman might be, that if I'm perceived to be gay or if I'm perceived to be straight, that my experiences are different, that might have to do with whether I get a job, whether I'm beaten before I get home. It may have to do with whether or not my leadership is received well by everyone in the room, things like that. So I just think that we want to be careful about picking and choosing who is worthy of having voice or which communities are actually valid communities as opposed to others. I know there are a lot of young people who question their sexual orientation, and whether or not, you know, I personally might agree with that or not, I wouldn't want to say whether or not those folks should or shouldn't have a voice. And I just think that that's also part of what distinguishes Justice and Unity from other slates. And not only that, but I would want to see young gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, people of color, having voice in decision-making processes. And in terms of affirmative action, right, affirmative action has been going on for hundreds of years in this country under the notion of entitlement, right? And as we've processed through, different people have become included in, you know, whether or not we can be entitled to things. And I just wouldn't want those of us who feel empowered right now based on, you know, on gender issues to do the same thing in reverse to other folks who we haven't quite fully opened up our doors to.
I got it back. I'm really wrapping it up
quick. A lot of dialogue is taking place tonight. Next week at 6:30 in the same place on a Thursday, there's going to be a Mid-Hudson Valley People's Assembly, so please come to that.
Yeah.
And we'll continue the dialogue. And thank you, Steve, for moderating.